with Brent Terhune. Take the load off and listen soon. We're gonna have a real good time for you. The Field Trip Podcast.
Welcome back to the Field Trip Podcast. My name is Brent Terhune. Joining me for the first time on the program, Mr. Mike Bobbitt.
It's exciting to be here.
Thank you for being on the show.
I appreciate the invitation. I have been listening. I've listened to a few in the past, but this week to really cram, I feel like I've listened to every Isaac Lanfert episode that came out since the last time I've listened. And it was good getting to hear him again.
Well, that's a lot of episodes because Isaac's a go-to of mine.
Yeah, I've noticed that. So,
well, it's easy if I have a topic and I need it this week. I'm like, hey, are you around? And he's usually around during the day. So
there were so many of them that I wanted to send a message to both of you guys and say, this is what I would have said on that episode. Not realizing you've recorded these months ago, so it would make no sense to either of you at the time. So, yeah.
Well, I know you're a big Star Wars fan, so I'm thinking about going back and redoing some of the episodes to add in sound effects and tauntauns and stuff.
Oh, good. I would like a scene where you walked across my tail.
Okay. Yes. I could do that. Yeah. I'm a big fan of that tail, baby.
Yes, I do.
And Mike, I just did your podcast as well. I don't know if it's out or will be out here soon. So plug something that you want to plug.
This week, actually, Mike Cronin's episode comes out. Yours will be out probably end of September. It's called Soundtrack to My Life. And I basically interview my creative friends through the structure of what music was important to you at different points in your life. And I end up getting to learn a lot about my friends through talking about music. And it's exclusively on Spotify. It's a music plus talk show. So I get to play the songs in their entirety, which I like more than just doing like a little snippet here or there. And it's exciting. It's turned me on to a lot of new music. I hadn't really listened to a lot of modern Metallica until I had you on, and it gave me a chance to really dive into the newest album, which is really good. And I don't know that I would have discovered that if it weren't for having you on.
You're welcome, Mike.
I didn't say thank you, but
but I'm saying you're welcome. I know what you mean. If there's a soundtrack to your life, as long as we're talking about it, Mike, you got one or two or three albums that you'd say, hey, or you did a Desert Island. You know, that was one of your questions, Desert Island album. What's one for you?
I feel like this is going to make everyone say, oh, yeah, I don't want to listen to anything this guy has to say about music. But my Desert Island album would probably be either the soundtrack to Jesus Christ Superstar or Guar's album This Toilet Earth. So how about that?
That's the big spectrum there, Mike.
It's not as large of a swing as you would think.
Well, let's jump into our topic today because you're a scammer.
Hell yeah, I am. You think my name's Mike.
I know, yeah. And you told me about your family and how you were struggling so bad, and I sent you the money. No, our topic, as you read on the episode description, is something like the biggest scams, and I want to have like historical scams. But the impetus for this one was I saw on Twitter somebody said, "What's a scam that's so normalized we don't even realize it's a scam anymore?" These are my favorite type of talks when you talk about scam stuff. Like, I'll throw one out there and maybe you have some as well, but I do have lists of everyday ones, but then some like, oh, here's history scams, but like food at the movie theater.
Yeah,
where I'll say that's a scam. Like, clearly they're providing a food and a service, but why does a pretzel have to cost $9? It's same when you go to a concert or something, and it's where else are you going to go? They've already patted me down. I can't bring in this corn dog that I had smuggled in my pants. But now I got to pay $8 for a corn dog. Those are the type of scams that I kind of want to talk about initially. But Mike, do you have anything like that that you would say, I'll probably know somebody that refuses to like pay to park. So now they're driving around for an hour and a half trying to save $20, you know?
Yeah, I guess this says a lot about both of our physiques. On the subject of food, light, L-I-T-E on food, which doesn't mean necessarily that it's less calories or fat or anything else. Mm-hmm. It's because light isn't like a real, you know, 30% more than what, you know, it just misleading, yeah. You know, just marketing double talk on labels,
extra strength.
Yeah. Yeah.
As opposed, give me the normal strength. And then what is, of course we are, if you're buying extra strength, my thinking is you're probably in pain. And I'm like, give me all the strength.
Yeah.
You know, there was for a while, like this is a list I read a long time ago. One of them was like movie theater popcorn, where it's literally popped corn. How much does that cost to make?
Yeah.
And then you're paying, you know, $12 for a small or whatever it is. And again, back in the day, we were at no snacks at the movies. We didn't have any. We barely had money to go to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
So we never got that. But now, as an adult, I treat myself. I do get the popcorn, even though I think it's a scam.
Yeah,
but it's like,
I can't go to the movies without having popcorn. You're right.
Yeah, it's like it's kind of a ritual thing. And then I eat most of it before the previews are over, because there's 20 minutes of previews. And then I'm like, that was way too much butter. I shouldn't have done that.
Do you ever do the large size just so you can get the free refill, just so you feel like you're getting your money's worth somehow, even if you don't
do.
Eat the refill?
Yeah, well, that's where the drink comes in. And then, you know, I used to not be able to be a guy that would like get up to pee, as because I wouldn't have to.
Right.
But then, you know, and then I did it recently where I saw Indiana Jones. I was on the road. Because I like to do things that I can do at home while I'm on the road. And I think I got up at least once to pee. And there was like, I had to walk in front of people. And I was, and that maybe I'd peed twice, which is a lot. But then maybe I went the other way around, because I didn't want to feel like I was bothering these people.
Right.
By walking in front of them. I'm very self-conscious in that way, because I would hate for somebody to walk in front of me, you know, a bunch of times.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, on the subject of movies, I hate that I pay for Hulu and even like Paramount Plus, and I still have commercials on top of it. It's like, yep. I'm paying for this. Why? Like
that was one of that people listed too, was commercials. And that was either streaming, which we can talk about, but also just cable. It's when you, in hindsight, cause I haven't had cable in a while. You think about, oh, we were paying $150 for however many boxes and hookups. But then we're watching at least 8 minutes of commercials a show, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's true.
But it was like, that's just the standard. The commercials are there, you know? People always are always like, oh, did you see that one Super Bowl commercial? No, I did not. I don't really watch football to begin with, but I'm definitely not watching for you to sell me things.
Yeah.
Because if that's the thing, it's like, oh, the commercials are so good, why don't you just make them that good all the time? So there's something for me to at least that I want to check out, you know?
As a guy who was in a Doritos commercial that aired during the Super Bowl, I'm top tier talent, baby. That's why.
Right. Did you do the, you submit a commercial to Doritos?
No. It was part of, something. I don't know. I was hired as an actor. I'm talent. Okay. I don't need to know the logistics.
I did. Well, the Doritos is good because they'll like you can send in your commercial and then they'll use it. And that's like a, you know, they'll give you money or whatever. But what a also kind of a scam is, hey, do our jobs for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, that's true.
Or advertising.
If you've heard about like really great Super Bowl commercials, if you go to watch them on YouTube, but before you can, you have to watch a different commercial. It's like, yeah, no, dude, I'm on YouTube to watch a commercial. And now I have to watch commercials to watch a commercial.
Writing for the radio show I write for, Bob and Tom, sometimes it's, of a lady got approached by a bear in her yard or whatever it is, and you go to click on the Ring camera footage and it's somehow the TV station has ripped that video and put it on their website, and now I'm watching a 40-second commercial for 15 seconds of stuff.
Yep.
and I know the money that is not going to that lady that got approached by the bear. I know it's going to CBS or whatever the affiliate is, you know?
Yep.
With streaming too, it is, I hate commercials, and like we're paying, you know, you pay for Hulu and it's like that always has had commercials. They're smart because now if you hear like rumors of Netflix having commercials, we all lose our shit.
Yeah.
But we don't bat an eye when it's Hulu.
Yep. That's true. Yeah.
Somebody says insurance, you spend most of your life giving them money. Then when you need it, they turn over every stone to figure out how to deny you.
Absolutely. I actually just got done dealing with that with Aflac, where I literally got a letter from them with my youngest son's name and birth date in bold at the top of the letter. And then the first paragraph said, we need your son's full name and date of birth in order to approve this claim. And I'm like, it says Harrison Rhodes Bobbitt 12423 at the top. Like, yeah,
it's one of those where it's like they just have an extra step.
Yep.
Hoping that you won't send it. And I hate that stuff. I hate when I got to have a printer. I do have a printer, but if you have a printer, you know about half the time it works for whatever reason. And it's like that extra step because producer wife and I just had a tree fall on both our cars.
Oh, no.
Totaled them in one weekend. And mine was not as bad. And we, for some reason, we had different insurance companies and now we don't. But I sent pictures in. And they got back to me pretty quick, said it's totaled. But then for hers, they had to come out and look at it. And hers was the worst car. But then you had to wait and you had to file all the claims and stuff. And of course, what you paid for the car is not what you're going to get back.
So did she switch to your insurance?
Yeah, now we're together. Finally.
So what insurance did she have and what do you guys have now? This sounds like a really good commercial.
I know. This is the scam. I don't remember what she had, but now we have it's not Allstate, but that's the other scam is like it's not Allstate, but it's like a different affiliate of Allstate.
Uh-huh.
But then also when I get stuff from them, there's a third company that appears on.
Yep.
On the stuff where it's like, hey, it's actually Allstate, but it's actually this, but then here's actually your local guy, and it's three different levels. So I'm like, what insurance do I have? You know, but you spend all your money, and then once you try to actually get something out of it, they're like, actually, you didn't meet the criteria, and you've been paying wrong this whole time. We can't cover it.
Yeah.
Somebody said credit scores.
Oh, yeah.
Why is it when I pay something off, my credit goes down?
Oh, I didn't know that. It's been a long time since I paid off something.
Yeah. Well, you know, you pay it off and then you actually have to start again when a tree falls on it. But you pay it off and then your credit does go down. For whatever you pay something off, you would think, hey, you did good. You paid off your stuff. That should reflect positively.
Right.
And it goes down.
Yeah, and why is it if you check your credit score, it goes down just because you wanted to take a look and see, hey, how am I doing?
Be responsible. Yeah. Yeah. Which I don't think if you do a soft inquiry, it doesn't go down. But if you go to like shop for cars, it goes down. But it, what if I don't want that car? Then I have to go to a different place, and then it's getting hit and hit and hit again.
Yeah.
You're messing up my credit when I'm trying to use it to buy the thing. That is for sure a scam.
I feel like this treat falling on your car thing is a very emotional hot button topic for you right now.
Well, it's just been the most recent. Yeah. I wasn't really upset because, again, that is what insurance is for. But I've had other claims where you just know you're not going to get what you should.
Yeah.
But it's better than nothing, you know?
Yep.
Well, this one is kind of relevant given what we just said. It said, you ever notice how printer ink costs more than the fancy champagne?
Yeah. Yes.
Why? Yeah.
The printer ink costs more than the printer.
Yeah. It's like, this printer comes with ink, so I will just buy a new one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's a list I found. It said the price of labor. Someone shared an uncomfortable thought. A lot of us have been convinced that we are selling our labor to companies at the correct price. In reality, we're selling it too cheaply. Someone said, yes, I worked for a contract housing doing aircraft maintenance. I was making about $32 an hour. I thought that was pretty good until I found out the contractor I was being employed by was earning $185 an hour.
Wow.
So, of course, they're taking away the $32 that you're making. They're still making $150 an hour.
Wow. That reminded me, I bought tickets for a show. And I bought them right at the door, and the tickets were $25. And they were like, okay, well, with the service fee, that's $33. I'm like, what was the service? You just ran my credit card. I'm standing right in front of you. You didn't mail me a ticket. It's just,
I have Square on my phone right now. I'll somehow ring it up on my shit and it'll be 0.24% interest or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Versus whatever your service fees are. And Ticketmaster was one that people said as well, where it's like, and that's not a secret. Everybody, I think, thinks Ticketmaster is a scam.
Yeah, because
with their service fees.
And now you can resell through Ticketmaster, so they're selling one ticket multiple times now through Ticketmaster. Yeah.
Yeah, where it was like
Eddie Vedder would be rolling in his grave if he were dead.
If he was dead, yeah, that was the thing with Metallica, where it was like one of their companies or something. I don't know the story, and I have to look it up. So I'm maybe speaking out of my ass, which I only do when I do my Ace Ventura impression. but it was like the tickets would go on sale, and immediately half are bought up. Then to be sold at a higher price.
Yeah.
And, you know, it sucks when your favorite band does it, but I'm probably still going to like them. But when you hear shit like that, you're like, God damn, it's already hard enough anyway, you know? Sia, the artist Sia, I just saw that she posted. She said, how much do you guys make on average a month? So I can price my tickets as cheaply as possible.
Oh, wow.
So that's kind of a big spectrum, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are going to say I make $1,500 a month. People like me are going to say $8,000 to $10,000 a month. You know, what you doing well. if you sell koozies on the internet, hey, baby, anything's possible. But it's like...
Man, I should have gone viral with Dickie Ricketts. I would have been a...
You should have. Hey, if you can go viral, I'd definitely recommend it for the right reasons. Yes. Go viral for the right reasons.
Yeah.
This one said diamonds, and I had read this before. Somebody wrote moissanite. That sounds sexual. moissanite.
It sounded like a racial grown slur.
I'm tired of these goddamn moissanites coming over here. Being lazy and or taking our jobs.
Lowering my property value.
And also maintaining my property. Moissanite is lab-grown, cost-effective and is basically indistinguishable between from diamonds. In fact, you can look, they can look even more brilliant. So who knows, the diamond that you're buying is actually a diamond. But also, I did read one of those things. It's like, you got to spend so much on your engagement ring. You got to spend a month's salary on your engagement ring. And then that was like a marketing plan from a mining company.
Yeah.
Whereas like, you ain't shit unless you spend a month's worth of salary on me, yeah. You know, which what a great, marketing plan, because that then it's just like people say that. That's just kind of like something your grandma's been saying forever, you know?
Yeah, it's like the I grew up Catholic. It's like the no meat on Friday was because hundreds or thousands of, well, probably hundreds of years ago, fishermen went to the Pope and said, hey, business is down. People are eating meat. So the Pope was like, how about no meat on Fridays? And the fishermen were like, heck yeah, here's some money for your gold throne.
Is that, that's pretty accurate?
Yeah, like, that's, I mean, you know, that's
if,
told in
if you went
Mike-ism.
To trial, would you be willing to die for that? oh, boy.
If I could have, like, I don't know, like an hour to find some sources to cite.
Okay. Yeah. I won't put you on the spot. I trust you.
Oh, thank God. Because... for some reason, I don't know if you do this to everyone you have on the show, but you have a lawyer standing right next to me off camera. So,
yeah, he's a Moissanite.
He looked like a Moissanite.
Hey, they're people. Your people. they know their law.
They don't like to be called you people.
Well, it's tough. I'm paying you a retainer fee. I'll call you whatever you want, you goddamn Moissanite. Here's one you could kind of vouch for, and by kind of, definitely you could, Mike. The prices of baby products.
Yeah.
Toys, food, clothes, etc. Was in a store on Saturday to get a cot, mattress, and cover. I cried, someone wrote. Baby stuff is very expensive. You can save money on baby supplies and gear by trying to get baby stuff for free, but the prices are still crazy. I don't have kids, but my mom is like a garage sale, yard sale addict.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to go to that one yard sale, it'll be like 99% baby stuff.
Yep.
They're just clear, they're cleaning house. Go to those yard sales and buy the stuff there, and of course wash it.
Yeah, that was with our first kid, because other parents in the neighborhood were like, oh, you know, they do like a mommy kind of like meeting type thing in the subdivision. And we live in, you know, middle class, upper middle class suburbs. And because I got that Moissanite money. And we were like, ew, used? No. But now that we have two kids, used is pretty dope. So
I mean, I grew up on other people's hand-me-downs. I would just get, my mom would get stuff from yard sales. I remember one time, my mom went to a yard sale of a classmate. His mom was having a yard sale. And so I got a bunch of clothes, and then I would go to school, because I went to Catholic school. You had to wear a uniform, mm-hmm. but on like days where it was just like casual, you could wear casual stuff. They'd be like, is that Jack's jersey that you're wearing? And I'd be like, oh God, I'm wearing this kid's stuff. There's no mistaking that it was his shirt.
Because it had his name on the back.
Yeah. Hawkins, baby. The wedding industry. Now, producer wife is not huge into the big wedding shows, but she'll watch shows occasionally, or you hear people talk about how much they spend on their wedding. Because we had a Halloween wedding, Mike.
So did we.
And we, yeah. Oh, did you?
Yeah.
What was your wedding venue?
We got married at a place very close to the Comedy Castle here called Rust Belt Market, which is the perimeter of it is like local artists selling their stuff in booths. And in the center space, they have sort of like a meeting banquet area that was decorated really cool, very rustic. And it looked badass. And now I feel really bad that I didn't invite you, but you didn't invite me to yours. So fuck you.
Yeah. Hey, come on. I only got married last week. We weren't that good of friends last week.
I was going to say, well, I didn't know you that well when I got married, but you stayed with me before I got married. So I knew you plenty well. Well, DJ was my best man, so at least some of Indiana was represented.
Yeah, DJ Dangler, he was on the Stripper Stories episode.
Well, that makes sense because DJ's such a big poon hound.
Yeah, he loved... Ow! Calm down, DJ. But now I'm trying to think of it. I think we joined the Moose Lodge. We were probably the youngest people there by 100 years. But we joined so then we could rent out their room.
Okay.
We joined for a year, and it was pretty much like a dingy high school gym, and it was great.
Oh, that's awesome.
They had like moose on the wall, elk on the wall. And we got in set up, and one of my favorite things from our wedding is we said, hey, we told everybody it was in October, show up in Halloween costumes. It'll be fun.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, and like we had a private ceremony and we dressed in normal clothes, whatever. And then we were in costumes. But our DJ shows up and, he's dressed as Dracula, and this is hours before everybody's there. We're all kind of setting up and nobody is in costume. And he's like, you guys said to dress up, right? And we said, yes. But in hindsight, it would have just been funny to tell the DJ to show up in costume and then have just a regular wedding. So it would have been like everybody's in formal tuxes and then Dracula's on the ones and twos over here.
We did that one time. When my buddy and I lived together, we had a Halloween party and we told one person it was a costume party.
Now, what did they show up as? Do you remember?
Queen Amidala from Star Wars Episode One.
That's a good costume. And that's also, you can undress out of that.
But she still had her face painted white and,
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
Now, I will say when we did the math, we've thought about in years since our wedding, and I think tops we spent $3,000 on our wedding.
Okay.
Which, that's not nothing, but when you hear, like, you watch a TV show or you hear, you have a rich friend, and it's like, oh, they spent $30,000 on the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, hey, if you got it like that, by all means, do it. But I'm like, I can't justify that,
Yeah, my first wife, our wedding probably cost 10 times as much as my second wedding. And, that marriage didn't work out. So,
well, you did call her your first wife. Yeah. So
it doesn't really matter the cost of a wedding. What matters is the marriage.
The love, as we say on my wife and I quote King of the Hill all the time, we say, Peggy. The love. Here's one I think we can all agree is a big scam. The claw machines and arcades.
Yeah.
Someone commented, specifically, they're programmed to pay out after X number of dollars. Claw games with cheap stuff like stuffed animals will pay out relatively frequently. Things like the stacker game or the keyhole game. I don't know the keyhole one, but I do know like the... the game where you put a quarter in and then the quarters stack on each other and the thing keeps sliding back and forth. Maybe that's what that is. But it says things like the stacker game or the keyhole game with, quote, big ticket items are programmed to pay out much, much at lower rates.
Okay.
Somebody else added the one in the arcade I worked at in college didn't have that. Instead, you could tweak the claw strength differently during the, quote, grab portion versus the carry portion. So people would be able to pick up the prize, but then while carrying it to the door, it would drop.
Oh, wow.
False hope.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even think those machines would be that intricate where, hey, it's good about picking up, but once you're on the way to the door, it's going to drop it.
Wow. It's one of those Moissanite scams.
These goddamn Moissanites. They're only good for the law, and that's about it. Let's talk about some big scammers. Let's jump to like some people. I want to do a whole episode. Maybe this will be a future episode, but just about the circus in general.
Okay.
Because I think it's kind of a fun topic to talk about. But P.T. Barnum. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mike. Didn't he say there's a sucker born every whatever?
Sucker born every minute, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. P.T. Barnum became a household name when the Greatest Showman came out, of course. But he had a circus full of fake acts, questionable ethics, and hoaxes. He made millions off of fake giants and fake mermaids. That I don't... I would pay to go see your Bigfoot thing, and I know it's not real. You know,
mm-hmm.
Behind me on the wall, Mike, right here, is a picture signed by the guy that took the Bigfoot video.
Oh, okay.
Bigfoot's
yeah.
crossing the... I met the guy, producer wife and I, got a picture taken. I paid for him to sign that Bigfoot picture. All likelihood, it's not real. I don't care, because that video, since I was a child, I just love Bigfoot. I love that video. That's fine. I'm happy to... I know... the Captain Kirk, whoever played William Shatner, I know he's not a real space captain.
Yeah.
That's fine, you know? Mm-hmm. But other stuff. Okay, the worst thing that P.T. Barnum maybe have done, when you think about it, pretty shitty. He purchased an elderly black woman and paraded her around as George Washington's 181-year-old nurse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the time, slavery was illegal.
Yep.
He bought a lady, and then when she died, he sold tickets to her live autopsy, where it was revealed she was a little over 80 years old.
Wow.
I'm okay if you want to sell tickets to my autopsy. If we can make some money, you know, people like, I didn't know that they, you know, you could fit that many chili cheese Fritos down in there. I'm okay with you doing it, but you bought a human being and then you sold tickets to her autopsy.
I knew someone that was shopping for mail order brides, and I was like, that you're buying a human being, dude. Like, that's
And also that's she's made well, she will probably stick around for a little bit, but she's just going to get tired of your ass because there's not real love there.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yep.
I don't know. I got a good deal on mine. We've worked out so far. Come on. The original Ponzi scheme. Did you know that the Ponzi scheme was named after a guy named Charles Ponzi?
Oh, I thought it was named after Arthur Ponzarelli.
Ponzi. Hey. This podcast has jumped the financial shark. Now, here's a scam that I won't try to pretend I know what it is.
Yeah, I don't understand Ponzi schemes either.
Well, initially, his first scheme was he would buy postal relay coupons, PRCs, which you could then exchange for postage stamps.
Okay.
If the coupon was purchased in a Spanish post office for 30 centavos, it could be exchanged in a U.S. post office for roughly 5 cents, making Ponzi a 10% profit on each PRC. If he stuck with just that scheme, he probably wouldn't have been caught. But here's where Ponzi scheme comes in. He created a securities company promising investors returns of 50% after just 90 days. He told investors he had an international team of people buying and trading PCRs at a profit, and they would get their cut. These people, of course. No such team existed. In reality, he was using the money from new investors to pay off the old investors and keeping the rest for himself. He swindled a total of $15 million, which the equivalent today is $200 million.
Wow.
It all came crashing down when the U.S. government changed the exchange rate for PCRs. At the time, Ponzi garnered bad press and lost new investors, meaning he had no money to pay back the old ones. You know, you're like, when the thing is named after you.
Yeah.
You know you messed up when it's called Ponzi scheme.
Yeah. I hope it's okay to keep getting new credit cards to pay off the balance of old ones. Otherwise, that's going to be known as the Bobbitt scheme.
It's not so much a pyramid shape per se, but it's like a triangle. And I've been told Isaac Lanford has said it that I think if you put it on a credit card, you don't have to pay it off. So,
oh,
so far so good for me.
Oh, good.
Yeah. My credit score ain't shit, but it's a scam anyway, Mike. Let's talk about Frank Abagnale Jr. Are you familiar with this fella?
I came across his name when I was doing a little bit of research before he told me to stop.
He's Mr. Catch Me If You Can.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Leo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
No, I read an interview with him, or I read something about him where he was saying like he would fly and he'd pretend to be a pilot. And you don't say, what kind of plane do you fly? Pilots don't talk about, hey, what kind of plane do you fly? They say stuff like, what kind of instrument you working with, whatever the stuff in the cockpit. It was very like you learn the terminology of the thing you're scheming. So the book and movie followed Frank Abagnale on all his stuff. String of frauds, thefts, arrests, his biggest scam of all was creating a persona where a lot of that didn't even happen. So the guy's a scammer already, and then he made up a bunch of shit to sell the book and the movie.
Wow.
Nearly everything he claimed in his book was false. Public records show that when Abagnale claimed he was living the life of a white-collar criminal and running from the FBI from ages 16 to 20, he was actually in jail for stealing checks. His claims of living multiple false lives and impersonating lawyers and doctors, which is what drove the plot of both the book and the movie, were all false. He made millions from selling a fake story and getting it turned into a Hollywood movie. He admits some of the things were embellished in his book. So that was another episode. If you enjoy this episode, kind of the guy I wanted to talk about, but I didn't get to him on the People Who Led Double Lives episode, was Frank Abagnale Jr., where he's lying about the lies.
Yeah, that's meta. That's
very meta. And also, I'm not giving him my money, so I don't care. I thought it was a good movie. Yeah. So
it's like the Henry Hill that Goodfellas is based on, and My Blue Heaven is based on. Apparently, a lot of his stories are very embellished as well, too.
Yeah. Well, Isaac joined me on the Goodfellas episode where we watched Goodfellas one episode, and then the next one we watched the Henry Hill documentary. Mm-hmm. And about the only thing I garnered from that was that he is incapable of not saying fuck every other eight words. So that documentary is really fun on HBO.
Oh, I'll have to watch
that.
Now
he's like just like a cook at some bar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, oh, he fell off pretty hard.
Yeah.
You mentioned Henry Hill. There was another guy that I was trying to think of when along the same lines, a clear grifter. Well, let's talk about this one. We'll come back to that one. Bernie Madoff.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, this was like one of the most recent ones. And when he was arrested, I think I was still in high school. So I just like, I knew the guy, but I didn't really know what he did. Are you familiar with what he did, Mike?
A little bit. Isn't it sort of like the Ponzi thing?
Ponzi scheme, yeah. But took it to a different level.
Oh.
So he took Charles Ponzi's book and then made it even bigger. He stole over $64.5 billion.
Wow.
From investors with his penny stock brokerage, which turned into Bernard L. Madoff Investment Securities. He made off with a lot of money. That's not written. I did that. I'm very good at improv. Made fake trading records by backdating trade deals, start dates and end dates, then manipulating their worth on paper before returning them to investors who thought their stocks had increased in value over the given time period. Now, what I read, I can't really pretend to understand what that means, Mike. It sounds like he lied.
Yeah, it sounds like he subtracted numbers on one end and added numbers on another end and made people go, ooh, I'm rich, and then they weren't really. Yeah.
Now, he lied about this for over 20 years, admitting to his sons in 2008, quote, it was all a big lie. When he was found out, it was revealed that clients were missing a whopping $65 billion in profits, while investors lost an estimated $18 billion, of which $14 billion has been recovered. He pleaded guilty to 11 federal offenses and was sentenced to 150 years in prison, and he just died in 2021.
Yeah. Wow.
Was that that weird 1-2-3 year period where a lot of people died and may have been COVID or not COVID, but have you recently thought about, I wonder what happened to so-and-so, and then you look up and it turns out they died in that weird 3 year period.
Yeah.
Where you're like just lost in the shuffle. Like, I think it was Regis Philbin who I was like, is he dead? Or was it Bob Barker? You know, those are like, I get those two guys confused, but you, thanks to COVID and the weird time that we had, I'm like, I think he's dead, but I'm not too sure. And you have to ask Alexa.
Yeah. Speaking of scams, COVID, am I right?
Hey, let's finally get down to business. Yeah. About this plandemic.
Yeah. And then let's talk about Me Too.
let's really break some interesting ground.
Yeah.
This one's kind of back in the news at the time of this recording, Mike, because what's his name? Billy McFarland. He's the guy behind Firefest. Did you watch any of those documentaries?
Yeah, he's doing another Firefest. Who's if you're dumb enough to go for it a second time, then he should be allowed to keep all the money.
Yeah, I fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, you know, is vice versa. I just turned into to George Bush for a minute. Fool me, fool me twice. You can't fool me again. Shut up. But yeah, where it's like, hey, you know, like he just sold like the opening group of tickets, and then eventually the prices are going to keep going up the closer it gets to the show date.
Mm-hmm.
But if you watched either documentary, I think the Netflix one or the Hulu one, Hulu, you probably had commercials with it. It's you look at it and you're like, this is the biggest crock of shit I've ever seen. And then I love how Ja Rule was like, no, we can spin it to be positive. Like, people were stuck on an island because of you guys with no show.
Yeah,
they could. So Billy McFarland. He defrauded investors out of $27 million to create the event. That's a lot of money, and a lot of money to then not have it happen.
Yeah.
I know it gets expensive to pay bands and permits and have people poop and pee and sanitary, but I feel like $27 million, you could have got that done. The event was promised a party on a Pablo Escobar's island in the Bahamas, but with 2 months to go until the festival, the Bahamian government hadn't given McFarland permission to use the island. However, he continued to promote the event as being hosted on a private island when giving patrons fake maps. In reality, the festival is being held at a developmental site in Roker Point, Great Exuma. I don't know, Great Exuma, with permission of the Bahamian government. Only 6 weeks to build what should have taken a year, guess who paid up to $100,000 a ticket?
Wow.
Arrived to unfurnished campsites. Unless it's a house, I don't know why you're spending $100,000.
Yeah, I it's one of those.
I like Blink-182, Mike, but not for $100,000 worth.
Yeah, I'm kind of stuck on that one where I'm like, if you have $100,000 to invest in going to a festival, then I don't care. I have no sympathy for you if you lose it.
It's when the infamous picture of here's the cheese sandwich we got for the food, and it's almost laughable. And then you find out they spent $100,000, whatever they spend,
mm-hmm.
and you realize it's a bunch of rich kids.
Yeah,
and then part of me is like, I don't feel bad for you.
No, I really don't.
I know it sucks that you got scammed, and I'd rather you not, but I also don't feel bad for you. You lost $100,000 when it's going to take me at least 3 months to make that in my koozie business.
Don't sell yourself short. If it's like the Christmas season, you could make that a month and a half.
I could make that. I just got to get some new colors. Red and blue, that's old. We got to get some new colors in here, Mike.
Yeah.
Let's wrap up on some of these. This is from BuzzFeed. Another people just writing in on what they thought their scams were. Convincing every high school kid they need to go to college. In reality, a skilled trade or another specialized school would be the best route for a lot of people. Did you go to college, Mike?
I went to college for a year and dropped out and went to broadcasting school and work right alongside my wife, who had student loan debt for a long time. So,
yeah, I like that you. It was called broadcasting school and not also college.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, college in general, I think anymore is a scam because, you know, I went to college. Thankfully, I had a scholarship that I was poor and smart, Mike. So that worked out.
Ooh.
I know. If you try real hard and also don't have any money, sometimes it works out for you. But just the, you know, $300 for a textbook that you probably won't even use.
Yeah, that's the scam.
What a scam.
Yeah.
And then I took a Spanish class, and that was literally 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
But you only got one credit for it because it was a language class. Mm. Whereas, like, you got to be there every day at 8 a.m., which that's a scam anyway, 8 a.m. class in college. But I'm doing 5 days worth of work for one credit hour.
How's your Spanish?
And then, no bueno. Not very good. I was David, though, if you're curious.
Okay.
And my teacher was from Spain, or España, as he called it. And I took 3 years of college or high school Spanish. And about a month left of the year and college Spanish, I ran out of Spanish. I had to learn new stuff because what I learned in 3 years was covered in about a year of college Spanish.
Wow.
So I was glad to be out of that class because I was like, I don't know how to learn future tense. I can't do it. this one says college tuition. I graduated with a BS in information. I graduated with a BS, if you know what I'm saying. Working at a job and earning just as much as my coworkers who didn't go to college and earn certifications. They have zero debt while I'm sitting on $40,000 in the hole.
Yep.
So, where you can learn the same thing and not have to go to school. And then once you pay that off, Mike, guess what? Your credit score is going to go down.
Yeah, it's all a vicious circle.
Let's talk about this one, because I don't know if this is true. Recycling. Some countries just dump it at the same place as trash. Some do better, but it's still a feel-good thing to do. I still do it.
I still do it as well. I remember on that Penn and Teller bullshit show, mm-hmm. they covered recycling, and I was very... kind of like snotty, you know, like an atheist, about like, this isn't real and I'm going to tell everyone else it isn't real and you're dumb for believing in it. But now I do it because, you know, maybe 100% of it doesn't get recycled, but you know, if part of it does, then, you know, that's fine. I feel the same way about recycling as I felt about wearing a mask during COVID. It's like, if doing this, you know, saves one person, then fine. I'd wear a dildo on my nose if it meant one person wouldn't die. You know, like,
is that why you're wearing a dildo right now on your nose?
No, I'm wearing the dildo right now because it's almost 10 o'clock at night. And this is how I unwind at night.
That's you and your wife's time.
Yeah. Are you kink shaming? Because I thought you were a little bit more progressive.
No, you have the music podcast. I only kinks shame.
You're a professional comedy writer.
Hey, off the top of my head, that was pretty
bad.
That
was pretty awesome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. A couple more and then we'll get out of here. Yeah, in words, you recycle and I try to, hey, if I have the aluminum can and the trash can has the aluminum can logo on it, I put it in there. Now, whether if that actually goes to where it should, at least I did my part.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. healthcare system. I went to the ER a few weeks ago for an unknown pain in my chest and overall shitty feeling. I got slapped with a $1,500 bill for what turned out to be viral food poisoning. My brother, who is a doctor, said that was normal. Why the fuck is that normal? Question mark.
Wait, was someone who wrote into BuzzFeed? That wasn't you, or?
No. I wouldn't have talked about my brother and that he's dead and not a doctor. Thanks for bringing that up.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hey, death. That's a real scam. Death?
That is a scam. Well, I think life is actually the bigger scam. Death is... That's going to happen and free for the person it happens to.
Yeah.
Well, if we're talking scams, a funeral.
Yeah, the price of coffins.
Dude, 9 years ago when my brother died, I think the coffin was $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, back in the day, you could have gotten them at Costco or whatever.
Yeah.
But it would have been shipping, and he kind of died now when we need to bury him now.
Yeah.
That whole scam of death, and then it's not, you got to buy the coffin, but you got to buy the concrete container thing, and then all the shit that comes in with dying, and it's so expensive to not be alive anymore.
Yeah, I remember when my dad died, my brother and
thanks
I,
for bringing that
yeah,
up.
I'm so sorry. my brother and I were basically like, hey, listen, he was a cheap ass. So we're not going to let you upsell us on anything because we're honoring his spirit. And the guy at the funeral home, I think, kind of realized, oh, I'm not going to be able to. So he's like, kind of like dropped the whole salesperson thing. He's like, it's all bullshit. Like, who fucking cares? And we're like,
please
yeah.
Admit to me because I know you're bullshit. It's like the Big Lebowski. When they're, you know, at whatever the price is for Donnie's urn. And he's like, is there a Ralph's around here? And they go get a coffee can.
Yep.
We'll do a couple more. The fucking wedding industry. This one says U.S. $20,000 to $30, $30,000 for a single day. Stressful as hell event. When I learned a photographer alone cost $5,000 minimum, I almost puked. I would say get a friend that knows how to take pictures and pay them $500. That seems like a lot to me, but it seems a lot less than $5,000.
Yeah. I've noticed a lot of comedians that end up doing photography on the side and had no shortage of friends that were photographers. So that's what we did.
Yeah. Yeah, it's and it's also with phones nowadays. Look, phones are good quality cameras anymore. No, whether somebody that has the phone has the eye for capturing photos, that's different.
Yeah.
But also, you know, you're going to get divorced anyway, right, Mike?
At least once.
Working on it. No, I'm just joking. This one, and I didn't pre-read this, but I just saw what it was. And we'll talk about and we'll wrap on this. Realtors, probably the most overpaid, underqualified profession. The commission-based comp is crippling for some sellers. And if you try to sell on your own, i.e. for sale by owner, they will steer all the buyers away from you.
Hmm.
Now, I don't know that to be true, but I wouldn't be surprised if they say don't buy that. But I can tell you, when we sold my mom's house and she moved somewhere else, this guy... he's also, funny enough, he's my photographer. He took pictures for many headshots. He knew that something was different about her house and you had to sell it a certain way, and ended up selling, and then people bought it to flip, and then it turned out that they couldn't then sell the house as what they wanted, and now it is a rental.
Okay.
So whatever he knew, He knew some special stuff that I wasn't going to know, so we were able to navigate the market and actually get it sold, as opposed to what happened to these people when they had what I would assume is not a great realtor.
Yeah.
And they didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, we lucked out when we sold my parents' house and when we bought this one. So, yeah.
So I'm saying is use Tim Sewell for all your realty needs.
Yeah. Unless you're in Michigan, then use Jessica. I can't remember her last name.
it's been a joy scamming you on this podcast. Yeah. Mike.
Can I ask you about one real quick before we go?
Yeah.
When
you
get like phone scammers, do you ever play with them or do you just kind of get rid of them real quick?
My phone, which I've noticed yours has been in our communication, is on constantly 100% do not disturb mode. And it's to filter out those calls. The important people, it's my wife, my mom, and you are always able to get in through the do not disturb mic. But it's been rare recently that I got one of those calls. And it, you can also tell when your data was sold because then you get a ton of calls from whatever state. And as a comedian back in the day, I'd be like, Delaware wants to book me. I better answer this.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, can we speak to Mr. Terhune? And no comedy bookers ever called me Mr. Terhune.
Right.
So what do you do? What do you do with callers like that?
I love to keep them on the phone as long as possible because I know that they're targeting older people. And I figure the longer I can keep someone on the phone, the less old people they'll have a chance to actually scam. So I'll play with them for a really long time. And, sometimes I like to try to figure out the scams. I really like the ones that have you do stuff at your computer because I just act completely computer illiterate and like maybe like 5 minutes into it, I'm like, okay, wait a second. My screen went blank. Okay, you know what? I haven't turned it on yet. Hold on 1 second. Let me. and if they think that they have a chance of getting you, they will stay on the phone for a long time. I also like, if I see that it's like unknown caller, I will answer the phone in an old man voice. And
hello.
Yeah, and sometimes try to get them to call the police on my abusive son. Where I'm like, he locks me in the room and I'm not allowed to make the outgoing phone calls. Please.
Very nice, sir. But what is the last four on your social security number?
Please send help.
Has anybody ever been like, my God, I got to help this guy out?
Oh, no, not at all.
God. What if that was true where your son was beating you?
Well, I mean,
they don't give a fuck.
It's only a matter of time. I'm 51 and my son's 3. So I imagine I'm going to be pretty beatable in the next 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He takes my checks. His name is Frank Abagnale III.
Yes. I had one if people call me at work, I like to answer those because everyone at work loves how much fun I have with them. And it was something about my, they wanted me to check something with my cable television. So I just went off about how I don't have a TV and haven't watched a television since MASH went off the air. And then I started talking about the conspiracies behind the Little House on the Prairie book and who really wrote them. And I just kept talking as fast as I could without pausing. And I kept the person on for a really long time. They kept saying, sir, I have to go. I'm at work. And I was like, give me your phone number and I'll call you when you're on your break. Or you already have my phone number. So call me on your break and everything. And then we can keep talking about Little House on the Prairie because I think Laura Ingalls Wilder had a very fascinating life. And they eventually hung up on me.
I like that they were polite enough to be like, sir, I have to go, as opposed to click.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, Mike, I have to go.
I understand.
So please stop telling me about Little House on the Prairie books.
Well, stop calling me and do a very racist Indian accent.
What was the term we just used 20 minutes ago?
Moissanites?
These goddamn Moissanites. Calling me up. But Mike, what else do you want to plug? You have your podcast. Please tell me about that again.
Soundtrack to My Life, available exclusively on Spotify. A lot of really fun episodes. Brad Wenzel has a really good one. Mike Cronin's episode.
Brad's been on the show.
Yeah, Mike Cronin's comes out this week. Sam Rager has an episode where both Sam and I cry.
Okay.
You are going to be on an upcoming episode in about a month. And it's a show that I really enjoy doing. The Truth Cast is finally coming to an end. You have been on an episode of that. You played my character's brother. And it was one of those things that it took us about 20 minutes to figure out what you were doing. And once,
because it's improv.
I know. Improv. It was so much fun. Once we figured it out, I felt like Alex and I got it at the same time. And it was so, it was like a real life Sixth Sense thing where we're like, oh, Brent's been dead the whole time. So,
what's your character's name on there?
Dickie Ricketts. And you were Ricky Unknown. And I actually give a shout out to Ricky Unknown in the final episode of the podcast. So,
well, I'm happy I could come on and play your brother, even though you didn't know for a while.
Yeah.
It's Mike Bobbitt. So you are a stand-up as well, and occasionally you're on tour. You got some podcasts. You got a bunch of stuff going on, Mike. So and if anything, go subscribe to Mike's podcast so you can listen to my episode when it comes out here in about a month.
Yeah, if you search for Joy Road Media, you will find all the podcasts that I am involved with. And now that I have kids, I do a lot more podcasting than I do live performing. My fourth and possibly final album will be out later this year. So,
see, that's what bands and artists do to scam people into buying their latest thing, and then they come out with another one.
Yeah.
Stop scamming people,
Mike. I got to do my farewell tour. My first farewell tour.
First, you and Kiss.
Yep. By the way, if you have other siblings, if you want to buy a coffin, I'm selling coffins on my website, just like Gene Simmons.
Gently used, by the way.
Yeah.
Mike, thanks for being on the show, man.
Thanks for having me. This was a treat.
It's the Field Trip Podcast with Brent Terhune.